Sir, please, tell me. But you don't know. You just don't know. You've only read through a small section of my husband's journals. There are literally dozens of them. You tell me he was experimenting with botany, husbandry, chemistry, alchemy, and just a dash of religiousness, bordering on witchcraft if you didn't know better. I try to turn in the bed. You tell me he believed he was trying to make me into something, that I was chosen specifically. But all we can tell is that he wanted to return to the islands, and what he had found had renewed his request, and he'd given the resulting potion to me. Potion makes it sound like, well, I thought he loved me. I can't tell what's happening, but a pheromone, the milk, something made me irresistible. And you saw a terrible, aching need in me. Something that was harnessed appears to have been used. It looks as though I've developed some muscles, you tell me. It's obvious that I'm growing. I can't hide that. But what if another episode occurs? And you rise off the bed to go to your room, but suddenly double up in pain. Your groin, you grab yourself and double over, groaning. Clad only in your shirt, I see your face begin to flush. You don't look at all well. A haze is coming over your mind, a haze over you this time. You push me back to the bed, telling me you need my body. You look possessed. Oh my God, you look like I must have looked. I feel you, your weight on me. This time I've got no choice. I can barely move, and I feel your cock pushing between my wet lips. I feel the juices pushed out and run down my cheeks and over your hard cock and balls. The relief of this man's touch is incredible, though. I don't mind. I'm inflamed. I feel my primitive parts of me imploring. Hungrily, you look at my engorged breasts, and I find it so comforting and wonderful as you suckle again. I feel the surge as my rich milk is let down to fill your mouth. No sooner has my milk begun to flow, though, than I feel my pussy tightening. The nerves trigger me to almost instant ecstasy. Oh, yes. The growl that comes from you is almost as guttural. It's a man growl. It makes the hairs on the back of my neck stand up. It's so primitive. Our eyes meet, and there is no distance between us. Somehow an understanding beyond words. But then, blinking, I see you try to shake it off, and you withdraw from me. Oh, you're still so swollen. Your nightshirt looks a little tighter. Whatever this is, it's affecting both of us. Now another groan, a groan of pain. You have to support your cock and balls with your hand. Sit down, sir, sit back down. I manage to get out of the bed and come around and bend over you. I'm so much taller. There's pain in your eyes as I take your arm to help you step back and to sit. Don't leave yet. The servants, they'll see you have been in my bedchamber. Sit, I'll get you some water. I see beads of perspiration on your brow, and I place my hand there. You feel like you have a fever. And I take your hand by the wrist. You kiss my hand hungrily, which sends a spine-tingling boost through me again. My energy is returning, and you appear to be looking at me in my damp clothes. The fabric where my breasts have been leaking is transparent, and my nipples harden as you stare. I've got to push the increasing thoughts of lust away from my mind, but I can't help glancing at your groin and the handful of enlarged erection. Sir, is it painful, your manhood? Is it your stomach? You can't answer, but you pull me closer, and I feel my thigh touching your hard cock. It's much larger even than I remember from a few moments ago. It makes you flinch, and another primal moan sounds and flames from you. Feel it make my heart race. Our heartbeats both increasing. The wet pre-cum on my skin seeps through the fabric. Suddenly, you're pulling me closer again. I'm so aware of my burgeoning breasts, and they ache, and my eyes can't stop looking at your bulge. I have the feeling of losing control again, but I must resist. And I try to get away. It's no good. You're strong. I push away, but you press yourself on my hips, and I feel the deep tingle and the craving to know this cock again, to know how it feels again, to lay back again. Oh. You pull me with bruising grips on each of my arms, and I pull off. I pull off your covering, and you rip away mine, and groan again. Lust climbing on the bed over you. I hardly know how to stop. We are so attracted, but all I care about is the thick red cock, veiny, dribbling onto the floor, and now on my thigh, and I climb up and over you and point it up to meet me. My wet juices are joined again. It is heartbeat. Heartbeat in my ears. I'm deaf. I have you. And the bell end inside, and I feel the stretch again and pulled on you. Thrust too with a loud cry of pain. Or is it pleasure? Oh! You seem to expand again. Like some kind of device set on splitting me in two. It feels different. My hand needs a place to go and it settles on my wide hips. You squeak as you fight the urge to push and impale. Something's happening to us. Stop. This primal rutting session could be more than a worry. My cries of decorum are laughable, really. How will I explain any of this? You laugh. The servants must have heard everything. And I realise you're right. They must already know. My maid has had to clean my clothes. She's had to mend my ripped seams. The bed linen stained with each morning the milk. Oh, I've torn things as I've been growing. And the moans of my desperately satisfying orgasms. Though the servants are loyal, all were employed by my husband. It's just if they talk to any others. This is all fleetingly considered in my brain, because we're locked in some kind of urgent compulsion. You're affected too. It must be because you supped from my body. The milk, you imbibed my milk. Oh God, yes. That must be it. I can't help but enjoy the erotic stretching, the way you feel as I take your hot erection into me. Your thick veins rub and instigate such marvellous sensations as we join. I moan. Oh, and so do you. And my heart speeds up. I long to be filled with it. My body's screaming for me. Somehow, I've got to fight this. The thought of your pain and discomfort, you seem to need it. But I can pull off. You try to hold my hips and watch me bounce. I'm loving being allowed to take what I need, but this big, unwieldy, beefy dick. I'm filled. Oh. To be comforted from my pain. To be distracted. Each pleasurable aspect immensely swollen. Oh. You roll on top of me now. And find your own pace. I lay the weight of my tits on me. And you pumping hard makes them sway and roll. Hold them, trying to express the milk, but do not suckle. Too late, though. Your base instincts cause you to suckle my milk, and I moan and begin to come. We only ride our pleasure and our hormones. Our minds are numbed by the lust. Fuck. Fuck.
Fuck.
Oh, your huge cock. My need is great. And I have to wait only seconds before you scream. But you do pull out and expel ropes of cum from your bulbous big end. Oh! I can feel my body is growing. Breasts heavier still, but I cry from the release of that tremendous craving. You two look shattered, but sated now. Well, for now. A while later, I'm woken by my maid opening the bedroom curtains to bring me my morning tea. You have discreetly gone back to your room, and I'm relieved. But Kitty, my maid, notices. Madam, should you not seek a doctor if you are to enter a confinement? I feel shocked. She thinks I'm pregnant. And I look down and see my belly is indeed swollen. I have need of you, Kitty, to help me. My body is changing, but I cannot let it be gossiped about. You understand, don't you? I think I may need to travel somewhere away from here. She nods. Would your family allow you to travel with me as my personal maid? Would you come abroad, even? And she nods. Oh, yes, ma'am. If I am indeed changing, I must not let the servants think it's more than a pregnancy. It's obviously not my husband's baby, and I've only met you one day. I can't be pregnant. Oh. However, with the sex, and I may well fall soon. I will have to hide from my family and neighbours. And then, as she helps me, Kitty takes me to bathe. It's obvious I'm changing. I only just fit in the tub now, and my clothes will have to be altered again. Finally, at breakfast, I wait till we're alone. I need to confide in you. I'm scared. I'm changing so fast, and I'm not going to be able to keep it a secret for any longer. Will you help me? Help me and accompany me to find somewhere abroad, somewhere to hide. I need you, and you will not be able to hide if you begin to grow too. If you grow further, please. I glance and your hand adjusts your manhood in your trousers. You're uncomfortable, but looking at my cleavage, I cannot keep it covered. My dresses barely hold the weight of it. You tell me that you were tempted to leave, to ride on horseback. Though my giggle is nerves, as well as such naughty thoughts that rush through my head. It was a plan until you woke up and saw what was sprouting its morning presence. It was at least 2 inches longer and thicker too. And you grabbed it. You told me you needed to. All these changes, the secret to my husband's research. You appreciate that I'm scared and realize that you're changing too. It's not clear how long these changes will last for. It may only be temporary for you, but it's obvious that my bones and muscles have changed. It's not just one area. You tell me you will help me, because you must find out the secrets. Your company will want to know where this came from, where it led to. You have to go through my husband's things to see if there is a location we should set off to. And you addressed your crotch. Though I must ask, before we eat, how do the changes feel for you? Are they entirely painful? Or are they pleasurable in any way? Would you welcome more? Oh, bless you. Not sure whether to admit the pleasure I got from your attentions that at first I thought must be helped, but I know the usual etiquettes do not really apply now between us. Admitting it. Well, yes, there is a part of me, however scared, that enjoys the touch. I have been lonely. And your eyes look so understanding, and I'm aware you are conflicted, as well as... Well, you can't keep your hand away from your trousers. You need a tailor to alter them, and we must attend to that. We must travel. Do the notebooks tell of places that my husband travelled to, those islands you spoke of? Perhaps we should give the impression we are travelling as man and wife. I'm sure we can arrange passage if we get to one of the ports. We could even leave this very night. You agree. And after breakfast, go through to the study, trying to find as many clues as possible. Kitty has to send messengers out that the house will be closed and to let her family know she's accompanying me on a tour. I must bathe before I leave again, attempting to wash my massive breasts, though, and my hair, secured with a few pins. My clothes were the most distressing to try to find support for this enormous aching bust, trying to look respectable to travel. As I walk into the study with as much grace as I can, I feel that urge in me again. My face flushes, as if to mimic the flush of blood and swelling I feel between my legs, especially when you are near. I listen to the news that you can hardly concentrate, but have found some information. With each sentence you take a step closer, and with each breath I also move. My eyes locked on you, my sense is so aware of you. The room seems to fade and I only focus on you. When you look at me, I see the discomfort you're in. I see your nostrils flare and your mouth open and lick your top lip. I smile as you ask what was also on the tip of my tongue. I want you very much. I manage to stop myself from ripping your clothes off, but I look into your eyes as you watch. I sink to my knees before you. You breathe in a heavy breath as you see my intention. I am so hungry for you. I take the two buttons of your breeches and open you to the air. The light in the study is such that a shaft of light comes through from the leaded glass window and shines on your face as you smile with the relief as I take your large cock to my mouth. I seem able to accommodate only the head and tip at first. You are seeping with thick, clear pre-cum, and I cannot taste enough of you. As soon as the prick of desire hits me, I'm inflamed and suck with such vigour you have to put your hands behind you on the desk to steady yourself. Deep suction. My throat opens and I feel your head deep down my hot throat, caring not for breath, only for the seed-laden cum you contain. I must have it. My lips stretch tight around the fat girth of that cock. I take more and more in. I'm not shy of gagging. You sigh, such a deep, long sigh. The rest of your impressive length is held in my hand. Soon the room is filled with lewd, wet sounds of oral sex. Your hand pushes through the locks of my dark hair. You can't concentrate, but you rock, matching the pace of my head bobbing, telling me you've never felt that. You tell me I'm amazing. Mouth full of your cock. I would have smiled if I could. On and on, coating that long, fat hog of cock flesh with generous saliva, cheeks filling and hollowing with each bob of my head. Suddenly the rhythm was the pace, and the back of my head feels your hand, firm and insistent, pushing me deeper onto your cock. With growing alarm, I can't breathe. More and more of your cock is pushed in me. More. More. Just grunts. Guttural grunts. The fat, spongy glands rams against my gag reflex as you fuck my mouth like a piston back and forth. I put my palms against your thighs in an effort to push you away as I begin to choke on this mammoth organ. You could hear the ragged breathing, the frenetic tempo as you shoved this fleshy, fat organ further into my mouth. Hot tears trickle down my cheeks, and I know you're about to come. I know. I've got to just last a moment longer. Here it comes. I'm going to paint your throat white, you tell me. And then you just growl. I'm having to lean forward and breaking the fabric. My tits bounce again. I press against your legs and I turn so that one boob is between your legs and the other at the side, each breast tense and tingling with milk again as I'm so aroused. They are dry the rest of the time. It's only arousal that seems to trigger it. I feel trickles run down, just as I feel trickles of liquid in my throat. Finally, you are empty, and I pull away, gasping for a breath. I almost faint, and you fall to your knees, weakened by the amount of fluid that you just gave to me, your cock shrinking back to a very red, almost purple colour, but more the normal size of only 10 inches now. You're more comfortable, and you also seem pleased to have put together some clues as to where we should travel to. I lean back. back on the armchair for support. Cover myself in the wet camisole. Help me. You reach to suckle, but I hold up my hand. No! You'll just start it all off again. Just massage me, milk me. So if something, call for Kitty, for God's sake. So you ring and Kitty comes, looking shocked at my dishevelled appearance. My condition has worsened. Help me, Kitty. Fetch towels or a bowl. Quickly, girl. She runs to fetch them. And as you hold my hand, I see you want to suckle. But I see it's what made you worse. Kitty's back quickly with two pails. And you massage one breast as she copies with the other. Both massage and lift the hefty breasts. When I suddenly feel them let down. And each breast begins to pour creamy milk into the pails. It's such a relief. And after a few moments, there is a pint and a half in each pail. Kitty helps me dry my red nipples and covers me. My clothes fit better, but I begin to cry. Shall I fetch the missus a brandy? Kitty asks. And I nod. After I've supped the brandy, you have a sip too. And we explain to Kitty that I have a rare condition. We must travel to an island where there may be the only cure. She must pack all my things forthwith. There is no time to lose. You must send word to your father. And we order food to be brought to us in the study. And Kitty takes the milk out to the scullery. It gets taken out to be fed with the slops to the estate pigs. No one is aware of the effect it might have. Under the cover of darkness, the carriage is brought round. In a hooded cloak, I board the carriage and fall. Having given instructions for the house to be shut till I return. The servants are all paid for 2 months and told to wait at their homes. Only the butler keeps the estate workers supervised. We must leave for the port of Southampton. Ships there for the equator. By morning, we will have arrived. We find the first ship, the Savarina, and her captain is a Frenchman, Michel Verne.